Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 A Game. It's the morning shift. We are live out here, like the promo said, at Buckhead Landing, 3300 Piedmont Road, Northeast. It is a Falcons Friday. Hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. Thank you for taking us along on your ride this morning, wherever you are headed. We're having a lot of fun. We're going to get to more Falcons content. Got some Zach Robinson and some Raheem Morris coming up.
Yeah, but real quick, I want to tell you, Mike, Thanksgiving week, the Monday of it, November 24th, there's only one thing you should be doing. It's playing golf with Mike and me and the commissioner here, Gordon Robinson, Carl and Mike, everybody from the radio station, because it's our third annual, and mine, Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by Finley Roofing. Like I said, November 24th, it'll be at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Sign up today. Go to 99thegame.com, click the events link. Do it now because foursomes are going quickly. Had a meeting yesterday, 2 days about it. Talked to the GM yesterday, last night about it at MGA. It is starting to take off, and those spots are going quickly. So go to the 99 Game website, events page, and you can click on the link. It's all benefiting my friends at Pets for Vets. That's November 24th.
Can't wait for that event. It's one of the favorites of the year, obviously. And I'm going to go get some new sticks at some point. We're going to make that thing happen. It is a Falcons Friday, like I talked about. Monday Night Football with Buffalo coming up. That is a 7:15 kick on Monday. If you have tickets, first of all, don't sell them to Buffalo fans. Second of all, make sure you are there bright and early. This is not the 8:20 prime time that you are used to. So get that stadium rocking, man. I did a segment yesterday up in Rochester, New York, one of our sister stations up there. I believe it's 95.7 The Bear, maybe. And they had so many questions about the atmosphere at Mercedes-Benz, the tailgate scene, things like that. They had just as many questions about the scene around the stadium as they did the actual football team, because obviously, Buffalo, they travel well. It's a whole thing when they go tailgating, and they wanted to know all about that. So a lot of conversation about what's happening around this game. People excited about the Falcons being there in primetime on Monday night against Josh Allen, the league MVP. All right, let's go back into Zach Robinson for just a minute. We talked back at 6:20, which, by the way, ding, you can catch on the podcast feed, talking about him and these rumors about Oklahoma State. Let's break into more football right now, though. Zach Robinson talking yesterday at the podium, and he wanted to talk a little bit about how he felt being on the actual sideline.
Yeah, I thought it was good, and the communication, from last year, obviously being up the booth, and then the first three games, we've always been able to communicate well as a staff, but obviously getting down there, being with the guys, feeling their energy throughout the game, I thought it was all positive. I mean, I don't know if it would have made a difference in that game, whether I was up or down, honestly, because our guys were so juiced up and ready to kind of flush the previous game out, but I'll continue to be on the field. The only thing I thought afterwards, I was like, man, I'm kicking myself because maybe should have just started the season down there, but again, glad we kind of addressed it when we did. It was fun being down there with the guys. It's obviously a different vantage point, but it's, I was used to that in LA. I was down there on the field for 5 years. So it felt very similar to those. And I thought it was positive, and we'll keep going in that direction.
Yeah. Interesting conversation there. Interesting answer from him. And he talks about being on the sideline. He hasn't coached long, right? So he really has only spent 1 year in a booth, like he just talked about. It was last year. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to me, though, to hear him say he wished he had done that all along this season. I wonder how those conversations sort of started a couple of weeks ago when they made this decision, and how many times he's thought about it leading up to the Carolina game. Because after seeing the way they played against the Commanders, I, too, wish he had done it to start the season.
Yeah, and he better get used to being on the field calling plays like that if he's going to be, the next head coach at Oklahoma State.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
I couldn't resist that.
Here
that
we
was
go.
Just like
ding,
a,
ding, round two.
It's like you put it up on a tee.
Yeah, man.
And you put the driver in my hand, and you're like, you know, it doesn't matter if you hit it in the woods or not, which, you know, I do a lot of times anyways. Yeah. I'm glad he did it. I just think it. To me, the importance of it is because of the fact that it's a young quarterback. And yeah. I think that has so much to do with it. And he can coach this team. And he's mentioned it multiple times. It's not just about the quarterback either. Not just about the communication error. If he sees something or a play doesn't work or he goes back and looks on the iPad and he sees something with the offensive line, he can go over to D-Led and they can talk to the offensive line, right? Like you – or Bijan, or even a receiver with the route, the way it's ran or something. There's so many things that you can do more of. And it's – look, I don't know about some of y'all, but personally, I have a problem at times delegating. Because, like, you know, if like when I was a producer, I would say, hey, well, you do, you know, I'll just do it because I knew exactly how I wanted it. And
sure.
Sometimes that is, you know, there's nothing when you're trying to instruct someone how to do something, how you say it could mean everything compared to if you tell someone else to say it and it doesn't translate.
Cutting out a middleman.
Yeah.
It's like the game telephone. Right, which literally is what it was like on the sideline. I'm talking to this guy who's talking to that guy who's saying it to the player, and you kind of cut that out.
Also, our business.
Yeah, and I think
basically.
That I think that it's a good point. You kind of cutting out the middleman. You can also kind of keep the flow of the game, right? Sometimes you're up there in that box. I think it's probably hard to – you put your head down. You're looking at the iPad. You're looking at all the things going on. You can't really always feel the flow of the game or have those face-to-face conversations. And that's going to be important Monday because it's like Raheem Morris said yesterday – he talked to our Dukes and Bell, and he was talking about the best way to stop Josh Allen is just to simply not let him on the field.
You don't go out there and say you're going to stop Michael Jordan.
Right.
You go out there and you stop Michael Jordan. But you stop Michael Jordan by the ways that you can, right? What's the best way to keep Michael Jordan from scoring? Keep him next to his coach.
Wow.
So they're going to foul out Josh Allen?
Going to force him to shoot free throws the entire game?
I mean, is it hack a Josh?
Yeah, hack a Josh. Josh Allen, first of all, Michael Jordan, that's an interesting kind of way to go about it. No, but I think there's a lot to be said about this. Complimentary football does not mean that, you know, this guy, you know, this team creates a takeaway and this team converts. It can mean that, but – you know, I had this conversation with a lot of guys in Tuscaloosa last weekend. We were talking about Diego Pavia. The key to stopping Diego Pavia and this Vanderbilt offense, great takeaways, keep him off the field. Great takeaways, keep him off the field. And that's exactly what New England did to Josh Allen this past weekend. They got I think it was 3 turnovers in the first half. You know, some fumbles, some bad snaps, bad handoffs, whatever it may be in the backfield. And then when you do get him off the field and your offense comes on, no 3 and outs. Sustained drives, convert third downs, convert third and short, convert, you know, obvious passing situations. And when you get in the red zone, make sure you cash those in for 7 points. It's all the same storylines for our offense.
Can I bring something up? I want to get your take on it because it's I think you're the perfect person to talk about this, having played and especially offensively. Tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say tempo, people go, well, that's you're running hurry up. No. Tempo. And what I mean by tempo is do the sugar huddle thing.
Yeah.
Where they can't change personnel. Because what you can do is you – look, nothing changes in that. You can hike the ball with 1 second left on the clock, on the play clock if you want. Even when you go tempo, all you're doing is catching them with a certain type of personnel. Right?
Exactly.
And – you're keeping that personnel on the field, and but when you do that though, sometimes your offenses work better because you get in a different flow and you find something. So, I think doing kind of that, and I know it sounds weird the way I'm saying it, but like if you don't huddle at times, but you can still snap the ball with 10 seconds left because I've seen drives really take off for this offense, and under Zach Robinson as well, when you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because if you can find the right personnel pairing that you think you have a mismatch on, you can expose it for 3 or 4 plays.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially when you look at this whole Ed Oliver thing that, you know, he's coming back in the fray. I don't think he's played since week 1. He looks like, and according to, you know, social media and other things, it looks like he is going to get a crack at this. If you can catch him in a situation where he hasn't played in a month, maybe not as real well conditioned, maybe you hit an explosive or two, Yeah, I'd try to keep him on the field. I know he's a game wrecker, but it doesn't mean he's in great shape. If you see him breathing heavy, hey, man, let's keep rolling. Let's get up to the line of scrimmage. You don't even have to do the muddle huddle if you don't want to. Just get up there and kind of get to play and kind of, you know, run things from the line of scrimmage. I know Michael Penix, and obviously with Zach Robinson on the field, has the opportunity to do that. Speaking of keeping Ed Oliver off balance, Zach Robinson did address the situation yesterday of him not running much play action.
No, I won't go into last year. I think we've talked about those kind of at length in terms of how we operated last year. Obviously, we were incredibly efficient and explosive last year and put up a bunch of yards. This year, you know, four-game sample, you kind of look at the flow of the games. Obviously, all those – every game is its own entity and every game's so different. You look at really two of the four, you know, Minnesota was run heavy. They were having a hard time stopping it, so there was no need to force play action. There was actually a couple times in that game I was like, man, we probably should have just kept running it. And then Carolina game, you get into kind of catch-up mode. And so really it's kind of too early, I would say, in the season to look at the statistics on those things. But it's definitely something we want to continue to increase. And obviously the flow of the game kind of dictates all that stuff. There's times when you can call 10 of them, and there's times when maybe the flow is differently and you're going tempo and different things that you're trying to present to the opposition that maybe it's a little bit less in each game. But overall, yeah, definitely we play action's a big part of our offense. Just kind of two of the four games have kind of been a little bit dictated a little bit differently.
Yeah, I hate some of the narratives around play action in our offense, but I am well on board with the narrative that we need to have more play action.
Yeah, I just think people I feel like some of it early was kind of protecting what, you know, you're up front with Elijah Wilkinson and stuff and making sure that, you know, how he was going to hold up, and it seems like he's done pretty well. You know, that's the storyline that's kind of gone by the wayside is where's Storm Norton at?
I know.
I was told by everyone that all
TQ
we
– TQ Graham back at practice.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that yet, but, yeah, Storm Norton.
I was told by everyone all we needed to do was get to the bye week because Storm would be back. And it's –
Well, you didn't hear that from me.
Well, you know.
I'm part of everyone.
I know.
So.
Well, no, you're not. You're okay. Not they. But it's funny. We haven't heard of him, and it really has not been a storyline. The
yeah.
storyline has been the pistol, not what we're what you know, where the right tackle position has been. But – I think he's done enough that you can add some more in. I also, though, don't want him doing what he just said about in the Minnesota game. It's forcing stuff.
Yeah,
and that's what I mean. That's why I talk about the distraction when he goes in there. He's asked about play action 35 times in one media session. Like that becomes this thing where we're all human, and you can say, "Well, don't let it affect you." But that drives a narrative in your head that, "Am I not doing enough of this? Maybe I should." If you know. Seems to be a talking point. Like, I think sometimes that creeps in. He forced it against Minnesota, and he probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I don't want him doing that. I don't want him – that's what I don't want. That's the one thing that, you know, you get worried about when you have young play callers is how much are they paying attention to stuff that's said.
Yeah, I think that, for me, the play action thing kind of gets lost. I think a lot of people look at play action and say, you know, Michael Penix is under center. They're in this, like, too tight ace formation, and the running back's going downhill to the A-gap. You're faking the handoff, and then you're trying to beat him over the top. Play action, to me, in this offense, and this is why I want to see more of it, is much more about what we saw to Kyle Pitts on the touchdown. It's the zone read kind of fake downhill, and then Kyle Pitts, you know, bluffs a block and gets out into the flat. You get the ball to him, he gets an explosive. Like, well, that's play action in this offense.
And I think the false narrative out there, and it's part of the hatred for the pistol, is that you can't do it from the pistol.
Yeah.
And you can. You can do play action from the pistol.
It's, yeah, exactly.
Just like you can from you can do it from shotgun. It's a little bit weirder, but you can do it essentially from any. It's just a false narrative, and it drives you nuts. That's why people think you should be under center more.
Well, and speaking of the pistol, Saquon Barkley, the first two snaps of the game, rips off about 30 yards out of the pistol. We're going to talk about that game and all the other NFL headlines.
I was told
when
that's
come
not possible.
Back from the break. We're live out here at Publix and Buckhead Landing. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Welcome back in. Mike Bowe, the commissioner, Gordon Robinson, hanging out. Dylan, back in our Midtown studios, keeping us on the air. Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us here on a Falcons Friday. The Falcons do not play until Monday Night Football, but we are keeping you up to date on all things Atlanta Falcons against Buffalo Bills. You heard from Zach Robinson just a minute ago. We're live at the Publix at Buckhead Landing, 3300 Piedmont Road. We are being treated like kings. My dad, I told you this. My dad worked at a grocery store for 43 years. At no point in my life have I ever been treated this well at a grocery store.
Dude.
And so I spent a lot of time there.
So during the break, she brought us three different types of popcorn.
Dude.
This is, I think it was a cherry-flavored popcorn. Cherry pink. It's really good, actually. I like cherry stuff anyways. And then there's a caramel and cheddar popcorn. So it's a mixture, which is, I mean, I'm a huge fan of cheddar. And caramel's kind of like a classic.
I've already hit my caloric intake.
Hold on.
I can't stop.
This is an Oreo-flavored popcorn.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the one I got in front of me.
I know. I got all three in front of me. And I'm the little guy here.
Solid.
I'm the, yeah. So unbelievable. Solid. There's literally a bar right behind us, or right in front of us, I should say. I tweeted a picture out.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to talk about this real quick. We're going to do NFL. We're going to get to Thursday Night Football here in just a second. A lot of thoughts coming from that game last night. But they do this thing here called the Tap Takeover every third Friday of the month. It says it features local breweries from throughout Metro Atlanta where the breweries just come in and get 5 to 8 taps. They've already got a couple on the schedule. Looks like next week, Boston Beer Company and then ATL Hard Cider in November. Like, let's go.
Oh, wow.
Let's go.
Yeah. Well,
let's go.
They got the little growler right there.
I will
there.
Be back.
I wonder if I can just snag a growler on the way out.
Can you imagine, you live, like, next door to here, and your wife is like, hey, where are you going? And you're like, I'm just running up to Publix real quick. You know what I mean?
And not come back?
You come here, you get a growler. You throw the game on the TV, and you're like, yeah, I'm sorry, I just had to run a couple errands.
Well, and then you know how in bars when you go to, guys go outside to smoke, so they'll lean their chair forward?
Yeah.
Well, in here, you lean your chair forward, and you walk over to get a pizza, and then you come back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Then
also, that lady just looked at us crazy because she's picking out tomatoes, and she's like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, I love it, man. It's such a good time here at the Publix. Like we said, Publix, Buckhead Landing, 3300 Piedmont Road, Northeast. Having a great time this morning, kind of getting this thing off the ground on a Falcons Friday.
Yeah, don't forget, you can always listen to Sports Radio 97 The Game on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn radio apps. It's all free. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Literally, when I was down in Dolphin Island, I was listening to Carl and Mike on the Odyssey app when I was going to the local store for beer.
There you go. Dylan, let's go in the huddle. All right, a couple of thoughts coming off Thursday Night Football. You had the Eagles at the Giants. The Eagles were 4-1 going into this game. The Giants were 1-4 going into this game. Guess what? The Giants handled business. And I mentioned this going into the break. The Eagles came out on fire. I think the first carry was 18 yards. The second carry, 12 yards for Saquon. Both out of the pistol. Both running, kind of a mid-zone, wide-zone concept with cutbacks. It was like, oh, man, look at this offensive line. And then it's like from that point on, the Giants kind of dug their heels in. Like they made a stop right there, forced them to punt the ball. The Eagles did have a couple of, big plays in the game. Don't get it wrong. They actually took the lead at one point. But Jackson Dart and this offense just proved to be a little too much. And I want to talk about Jackson Dart for a second because you brought this up when we got here and we talked about it earlier in the show. Jackson Dart gets taken off to the sideline to be checked for concussion-like symptoms. He's in the tent. And Brian Daboll did not like it. He chewed out the trainer, chewed out some other doctor on the sideline, talking about getting his player back on the field.
Yeah, and he's getting some criticism a little bit. And look, what he was doing was he was just trying to figure out the timeline. And he was trying to figure out the timeline because he wanted to know if he could take a timeout and go for it. He was trying to kind of, put this game out of reach, right?
Yeah.
And you got Russell Wilson out there skipping balls down the field.
Yeah.
And so he was trying, but he talked about it, and he was like, I just want to know what to do. You cannot be upset with Brian Daboll here. It wasn't like he was saying, I don't care if he's hurt, put him back out there. what he was doing was he's like, how long is this going to take? Are we almost – is he fine? What he was trying to get some guidance. Now, was he animated? Yeah. Was he over the top? Probably. But Brian Daboll is coaching for his job. He just lost a game he couldn't lose last week, really. And so this is a big game. Get you to 2-4. It's a division game. It's your rival. It's Thursday night football.
I'd like to know exactly who he was talking to. Because if that is the – you know, they have independent doctors on the sideline.
Yeah, he was talking to his team doctor.
Talking to the team doctor.
The team physician.
My point being is that, like, that cover – like, I don't think the NFL is going to take this lightly. If you saw Jonathan Gannon get fined $100K for chewing out his player and hit him in the chest, chewing out a doctor on a sideline when a player's getting checked for concussion, bro, that's not going to go over lightly with Roger Goodell. There's no doubt.
Here's the deal. Bad look, yeah. You don't
– Do I blame him? No.
I need to hear the doctor and say, what did he say to you? Was it at any point he told you to get him in, back in? Like, I just can't take it lightly that you just say, I'm fining him because I didn't like the interaction. I want my coach to know what's going on with my team and coach on the sideline. I wanted him to know. And according to what he's saying, he's like, look, I wanted his blank out there if he was okay. But I wanted the process, like, were we getting ready to go for it on potential fourth down? I would have burned a timeout if he could have came out there. So yeah. So he's saying, I was asking, how long is it going to take?
Yeah, that's his thoughts on the injury. I do want to let you guys hear from Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo on the injury situation.
I was trying to save the trainer from Jackson. He's trying to get me out. Trying to get out of there.
Trying to get me out.
We're trying to get you out. And what did your head coach say to you when you got a chance to get out of the tent and regroup and go back out there?
He said, are you good? I said, hell yeah. You know what I respected about that? I respected the vet move of stretching your leg and acting like it was your knee.
That's the first thing we noticed, bud.
Okay, young vet.
We all know that one.
Oh, man. There you go with the Amazon Thursday Night Prime crew. Right there talking to him about the vibes are immaculate with these two right now, with these two rookies and Brian Daboll. What a massive win for that franchise.
Imagine if they get Malik Nabers back next year and these two guys are a little bit more seasoned and maybe Brian Dable's still there.
Yeah.
And, you know, because their defense is absolutely – they got studs all over their defense. Yeah. I mean, you guys forget where Brian Burns went. He's up there. Abdul Carter is up there.
Yeah, Kayvon
Thibodeau is up there. Who's the big nose tackle, big defensive lineman that –
I'm drawing a blank.
It's not Dexter Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
He's up there. They've got some freaking players up there. Also, I text Hugh Douglas, who used to obviously do this show. I used to produce him. He's doing radio in Philly these days. I said, dude, Godspeed.
Yeah.
Doing Philadelphia radio today after what happened to the Phillies and the Eagles. I mean, that dude – that has got to be a very angry, angry sports fan city right now.
I will say this, too, and kind of finishing up on this game. Philly's offense was built around the tush-push yesterday. They were not good for a lot of this game, and they went tush-push on four straight plays. And I got to be honest, as much as I love watching football and love watching the Eagles and love Jalen Hurts, I almost turned it off. I was like, this is not watchable. That has to be something the NFL is going to take into account this offseason when, once again, we're having the conversation about whether or not to ban the tush push. It's just – I don't care that they do it better than anybody else. It's not watchable.
Yeah, it's also, to me, it's not just about them doing it better. I feel like it's becoming an illegal play because the offensive guards are moving.
Yeah.
They're taking off before the ball is snapped. How is that legal? It's not legal in any other run play.
Yeah.
You know, and Jalen Hurts had 7 carries for 13 yards last night. 4 of them were in a row in the tush push. Real quickly, the other thing I would say, they only ran for like 73 yards last night. If Philly can't win.
Dude, I'm telling you, 30 of those were on the first two plays.
Yeah, so if they can't run the football, and that's the players we just talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Dylan, I'm going to skip ahead real quick. We're going to play this. I want to play this Chip Kelly cut before we go to break. Pete Carroll was asked after the game this past weekend about the play call, and he's like, we need to run more play action. We need to, you know, find more balance. We need to do different things. Well, Chip Kelly actually stepped up to the podium yesterday, and he was asked about Pete Carroll's comments.
Chip, yesterday Pete said in order to help get Geno in a rhythm, he said that you guys need to run the ball more and incorporate more play action into the offense. Do you feel that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, that's what our game plan is every game, unless you get into, you know, we talked about it in the Chargers game. When you get into the second half, that skews. But, you know, we had 25 attempts last week in the game. There was real balance in the first half of the football game when it was a close game. I think it gets out of hand. So when you look at some of the numbers, I think we had 25 rushing attempts and 36 passing attempts at the end of the day. But in the first half, it was really even.
Do you think that's fair? Do you think it's fair for Pete to say that, and do you think that's a fair response from Chip Kelly? Chip Kelly is not a well-liked person from a lot of people, but I thought it was actually – I thought he kept his tongue in his mouth. I thought he was like, you know what, man, I'm not going there yet.
I think he was honest. That's our game plan every week. Like, I think there was some honesty in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's fair. Look.
I think Chip, it was fair of Pete to say.
I think too.
That was a fair response by Chip, which I didn't expect.
Well, here's the deal. Chip Kelly has made it – he will never be a head coach in the NFL again, I don't think. He's pretty much said he doesn't want to be a head coach in college. And so he wants to be an OC, and he loves coaching football. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So Chip Kelly's role is he's kind of – this is his lot in life. He really can't go out and start, you know, basically cutting his head coach, right?
Yeah.
In front of the media, because then he'll have no job.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, we do got to go to break. And a reminder, this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. When we come back, we are going to talk more about college football in the NFL. We've got some picks to make against the spread in lieu of Man Up Monday, which will be coming up on Monday, obviously. And then we're going to get to a Fair or Foul Friday hosted by Dylon. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift. We're live from the Publix at Buckhead Landing at Sports Radio 92.9.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live out here at the Publix in Buckhead Landing. I'm Mike. He's Bo. He's the commissioner, Gordon Robinson, and Dylan is keeping us on the air back at the studio.
Yeah, don't forget it is a Falcons Friday. And look, the game might be Monday because we'll have Falcons Monday as well. And our water wall coverage Monday with the Falcons-Bills game starts at 11 a.m. with a special broadcast from the Signia by Hilton Hotel. Dukes and Bell will be joined with Randy McMichael, so it'll be all three of them. From the Nest on 4, I have been to the Nest on 4. It is phenomenal. The Signia Sports Bar overlooks Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and they'll break down Monday night's action. Come and get your tailgate started early. Dukes and Bell with Randy McMichael, or say featuring Randy McMichael, Monday from 11 to 3 at the Signia by Hilton on Sports Radio 929 The Game. That bar is awesome, too, by the way.
Yeah, dang. We have so much to get to throughout this segment. Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us. Like I said, we're live at Buckhead Landing. If you want to stop by, 3300 Piedmont Road, Northeast. We're in the Pours Cafe, where they do coffee and beer, both equally as well.
And smoothies.
And smoothies, which we just got hooked up with. All right, man, let's break into some of these picks that we need to make. Now, I'm just going to let you in. I haven't told you this little secret we've been keeping, I don't think. But we did make picks a week ago when you were out on vacation. Mm-hmm. But I made Dylan promise before I made my picks that they would not count against me because you were not there. All right? And thank God they don't, because I went 1-4 a week ago.
Well,
so,
I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
Because I have made a bet. It's not, we haven't come to terms, but I have challenged the entire show of Dukes and Bell for their garbage picks.
Okay.
And Day-Day has came at me about this. We haven't negotiated this, but the reality is they cherry-pick games they think they can win.
Yeah, well, that's what you should do gambling.
We get sent games by Dylan, and we have to pick them. So I think that if they want to come into the, you know, the world with the big boys like
the dojo.
Us,
yeah.
They are going to have to do what we do. So I'm the long answer is I'm fine with that because it doesn't hurt your percentage, because then it makes me look bad if you don't.
All right. Yeah, so it's gone from me versus you to me and you against Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, so that's the world now.
I love that, man. Let's kind of go back and forth here just a little bit. We're going to start with Bama at Mizzou. The latest I have on this one is Alabama as a 2.5-point favorite, over under 51.5. I'm going to go ahead and start here. I'm going to go with the over.
He's going against me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the over in this game. Bama's defense, while they were able to force turnovers against Diego Pavia last week, Vanderbilt moved the ball up and down, particularly in the first half. I also think Ty Simpson is playing at an exceptional level, as are Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard, Jim Miller, that entire crew. I think there's going to be points scored in this game. You know, if you get to a point where you're looking at, let's just call 31-21, I think that that's an outcome that I can see happening.
I'm going under because of the time. I can see sometimes in these noon games, defense is kind of just, for whatever reason, it's like the season just started and the defense is ahead of the offense in these games. I think Alabama's defense is pretty good. I just think, here's what I thought. I watched the first half of that game while I was watching Florida, Texas. And I can't remember who I texted, but I texted somebody, and I think it was my neighbor, and I said, Vanderbilt is feeling themselves. They're not scared of Alabama like we've seen other teams in the past. They think they've got their number. This is going to be a long game. And that's the way it played out. I take that first half and throw it out because I think the real Alabama played in the second half. Take the under, Bama Mizzou, 51.5.
Interesting. All right, me and you are against each other on that one. But I can see where you're coming from. Let's hit the other SEC game that we're going to take today, and it's obviously Georgia at Auburn. Do you have an over-under on this? Because I haven't found it yet. But Georgia is favored by 3.5 last I looked.
I guess I had the wrong number because I had 53.5 was the over.
I have 46.5 right here, so we're going to go with that. That's on
46.5?
Yeah, 46.5.
And Georgia's given 3.5.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm taking UGA. I'll go first.
Yeah.
I'm taking UGA, giving up 3.5 points. I just don't think Auburn is that good. I think it's a rivalry game. Kirby is a coach that still reads into that. I don't know. I just do not feel like there's any world right now that Georgia should be scared of Auburn.
Yeah, this is a tough one to pick, man, because my brain says Georgia by 14, but Vegas always knows. All right, Vegas always is. There's a reason the line is 3.5. I'm going to opt out of picking one way or another because I think it's really fishy. I'm going to take the under 46.5 on this one. I kind of feel for a lot of the same reasons. I don't know what Jackson Arnold is as a quarterback, but I don't know if Georgia can get home on Auburn's offensive line. We'll see it play out that way. But I think there's a lot of good matchups in Auburn's favor in this one. So I think that's what Vegas is looking at. But I'm taking the under 46.5. Let's go to the NFL real quick. We got to get a fair foul, but 49ers at Bucks. Bucks favored by 3.5. Over under that one's 47.5. I'm just going to tell you, I'm taking the under in this game. There's no doubt about this. I'm taking the under in this game. I think the Bucks, obviously very, very good. Mac Jones and the 49ers. I think these are two great quarterback/offenses at the moment, which is why I look at 47.5. It's a big number. Give me the under in that one.
I'm taking the over.
Okay.
And I think Tampa is an offense that's put up points.
Yeah.
You probably go to their games. Tampa has scored, their games are all going over pretty much. So over this over anyway. So I'll take it. 47, they've had one game that wasn't over that 47. That was against us.
Yep.
So I'm taking the over.
Yeah, maybe that's what's leaning on my brain. All right, really quick, Lions at Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 2.5. Over-under's 52.5. You go first.
Lions plus 2.5.
Wow.
They can control the line of scrimmage. Keep Mahomes. What was it? Best offense.
Yeah.
Or the best defense against a great quarterback, keeping them off the field.
Yeah.
So they can't hack a Pat. So I think the Lions are going to win the game of line of scrimmage.
Man, me and you are going against each other on plenty of these. I'm taking the Chiefs minus the 2.5. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And I just think there's a reason the Chiefs are favored. It's a home game. If I was just blindly looking at this, I'm taking the Lions. But the Chiefs are favored by 2.5. Vegas is talking to me. I'm not going to get our bonus pick right now. Dylan, we'll do that on the other side at the 8 o'clock because right now we got to hit them mic'd up.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Fair or Foul Friday on Mic'd Up.
On the Morning Shift.
As always, Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. It is Fair Foul Friday, and I have stepped back from the hosting duties, and Dylan is taking over. Go ahead, Dylan.
All right, let's get right into it. Fair or foul? The Falcons will need to score 25 or more points to beat the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. Fair or foul? The Falcons need to score 25 or more to beat the Bills.
I think it's fair. Look, I think our offense has been pretty good, but that could say that they get 23 points, 24 points. I mean, that's kind of an average day for an offense. Look, you're not gonna shut out Josh Allen and Buffalo. You're just trying to limit them, right?
Yeah.
Limit the possessions, limit how much they can do. And to that point, you have to maximize your possessions.
Yeah.
Real quick, off points.
I'll throw in the nugget. Bills right now, third in the NFL in scoring, averaging 30.6 points per game.
Yeah, I think that I think it's fair as well. I don't think you can look at this game and say, well, they can get by with three touchdowns. I don't think so. Like, I think you need to get to the 25 mark. I think that's a good number, though, Dylan. I think that you can pull out this game if your offense stays on the field, like Raheem talked about. If they do stay on the field, I have to think they can score 28.
I think the magic number for an NFL team is you score 24 or more points on average, you should win 10 to 11 games a year.
Wow, there you go. All right, Dylan.
Let's take in the NFL for just a second. Fair or foul, Giants will be a playoff team next year. Y'all were just talking about Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo, good young core there along with Malik Nabers. He comes back. They obviously stay relatively healthy. Fair or foul, Giants will be a playoff team next year. Mike, we'll start this one with you.
I'm going to say that's foul because they're going to be a playoff team this year. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going there. I'm just I'm not going there, but absolutely, man, the young core that they have. I've been saying this, and I kind of just for 1 week fell off the Brian Daboll thing, but I really do feel like he's a good head coach that's been dealt kind of a little bit of a bad hand. I think that if he can get that team pointed in the right direction at times this year, that he really can grow into a certain system and scheme with Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo.
I think it's foul only from the standpoint I don't trust the organization right now. I don't trust – to me, I agree with you on Brian Daboll, and I would keep him around for another year. I don't trust they're going to make those decisions, so I can't – I'm not going to commit to anything that I don't trust.
I thought you were going a different direction. I thought you were going to say that is just a sneaky, very tough division right now, and
well,
it is. So
they all are, though, man. This team lost to New Orleans and then beat Philly at home on a short week. I mean, it's just – the NFL in a nutshell is just – I mean, it's chaos.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Let's move to the MLB for just a minute. Fair or foul, Dodgers should be favored to win the World Series versus the field. Fair or foul, Dodgers should be feared to win World – favored, excuse me, to win World Series versus field. Bo, we'll start with you.
So what we got left? We got Detroit, Seattle playing tonight for elimination. Chicago and Milwaukee playing tomorrow.
That's
and
right.
Who's the other team in the AL that I'm leaving out?
I think you got them all.
So, no, we're missing an AL team. There's an AL team that I'm not even thinking of.
Who just beat the Yankees?
The Dodgers. Yeah.
Blue Jays.
I was going to say, I'm drawing a blank on who just beat the Yankees.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I still think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, hell, they paid for it, you know?
Yeah, they
paid for it.
They did. That's there's no doubt about that. It's been interesting watching that entire saga. I'm going to say it's fair. I think the Dodgers against the field. It's weird because Shohei Ohtani's bat's kind of gone a little bit silent, but then you look at it and you're like, he also had pitched a really good game one. You know, it's like one of those things where you're like, I don't know how to feel about Shohei right now. But yeah, I think it's the Dodgers against the field. There's no doubt for me.
All right, I had a piece of sound that I wanted to play with this, but my computer froze. So either way, we'll go with this one. Fair foul. Baker Mayfield should be MVP frontrunner right now. The sound I was going to play for you, him talking about how, you know, he's been himself the whole time. People just at the beginning of his career saw him as, like, kind of cocky and, you know, over the top. Now people just see him as a dog and things of that nature. But
I want to touch on that because he's right. He's a redemption story now, so they love him. When he came out as a number one, you know, first-round draft pick, they hated him because he was cocky then. But now it's moxie.
Yes.
It's funny. He's right. He's not wrong.
Also, yeah, go ahead, Dylan.
I was just going to say, so the fair foul is he should be MVP fronter right now.
I don't think there's any doubt. I would say this, though. There's another quarterback that people are sleeping on that I think is in this discussion, probably number two for me right now. It's Dak Prescott. Both those guys are playing at a very, very high level through a quarter of the season.
I agree with the sentiment. I would give it to Baker because he has led his – they're winning, and he's been a part of that. He's leading them down the field to win football games. And he's doing a lot of it. Literally, he beat us with his legs.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Dylan, let's get a couple more real quick.
All right, couple more real quick. You guys were talking about popcorn, and Publix, nice enough, doing a great job taking care of y'all. They brought y'all some very nice popcorn. Fair or foul, kettle corn better than popcorn? Because there is a difference between kettle corn and popcorn. Fair or foul, kettle corn is better than popcorn. Bo, we'll start with
sure
you
I know
on
the
one.
Difference.
Yeah, what is the difference?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't have the actual difference in front of me.
Okay.
I just think the way
you don't know the definition.
I think
of
it's
the
way. I'm pretty sure it's just the way that it's prepared is just slightly different. I'll find the difference for you in a second.
Okay. Well, look, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that's fine because I thought you were going to go with candy corn, and I was like, you can shut that down right now. It's worthless.
No.
So
that
it's a sweet and savory variety of popcorn that's mixed with seasoned light, and it's refined with some sugar, some salt. Dude, I don't know. I like them both, and neither one, to me, are killing the other in the competition. All so right. I'm fair. What is that? Fair or foul? It's okay or whatever.
Yeah, you're just you're fine.
He's fine.
You're fine. All right, Dylan, you fumbled the bag on that one, so we got to go to break. That's just it's an unfortunate
fumbled on
reality,
the last one.
An unfortunate reality yeah. of
fumbled
live
going in
radio.
The end zone.
Hey, man, when we come back at the top of the hour, we are going to do the wake-up call. We got a lot of things to talk about. If you guys want to weigh in on the possibility of Zach Robinson going to Oklahoma State, whether or not you think that's a distraction. Also, what did you think of Thursday Night Football? Do we have problems in Philadelphia? And would you ban the tush push? It's the wake-up call coming up at the top of the hour. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.